Hello friends, welcome to VSchool. We are on chapter 6, Share Selection. In the previous chapter, we saw various details on investing, on the investor categories, on the types of shares. We also got convinced that everyone can invest. We saw the reasons of investing. We saw some basic types of shares we can invest in based on the needs and the risk appetite. Now this chapter is going to further strengthen your knowledge on share selection. When I say further strengthen the knowledge on share selection, there are numerous number of shares on the stock exchange and you cannot keep on investing in all of them, because after you invest, you need to monitor, and it becomes very difficult to monitor if you make investment in large number of shares. So how should you select the shares? What are the basic rules of share selection? We are going to understand in this chapter. So the learning objective of this chapter is to understand the details on the fundamentals of investing, and at the same time also understand about the guidelines for investments. When we talk about prudent investment mandates, there are thousands of companies listed on the stock exchange. As I said before, one cannot buy them into all. One needs to actually determine from this galaxies of companies. When I say galaxies of companies, there will be many good companies you would like to invest into, but in spite of that, you might not be able to invest into it. Some of them maybe Eagles, the shares that will soar to Olympian heights, which are the ones that will be safe and which are the shares that should be avoided. These two important aspects should be considered. Prudent investment mandates that you must select the shares you wish to purchase, whether it would be for long-term investments or for short-term. Every investor will have a short-term goal, a medium-term goal, and a long-term goal. When we talk about the short-term, medium-term, or long-term, it purely depends upon what the age of the investor, what needs arise based on the age of the investor, and what is the quantum of money that he would require when he reach a particular milestone of his life cycle. So these are very important norms one should keep in mind before investing in shares. When we talk about shares, there is a wonderful formula or objective that one should keep in mind. And this wonderful formula or objective can be called as the Midas. Midas in this context does not refer to any mythical Greek king whose touch turned everything into gold. But it is a sort of acronym in which M stands for marketability, I stands for the income, D stands for diversification, A stands for appreciation, and S stands for security. So even if one understands or keeps in mind the Midas objective, your investment would be to a larger extent successful, because it will have the major ingredients of marketability, income, diversification, appreciation, as well as security. The decision based on these Midas fundamentals should be based on should be actually used for selecting the right share in the right industry that will fulfill your requirements. We will see why one should not invest entirely into one sector of the economy. There are reasons for diversification, and hence there is a need to select the right share in the right industry group that will fulfill the requirements of the investor. While in the process of choosing the shares, there will be some pointers, and these pointers has to be kept in mind by the investor. And what are these pointers? These pointers can be in the form of diversification of portfolio, preferring the diversified companies, choosing the blue chips, The bigger the better, buy low, price shares. History repeats itself, acting against the tide. Watch for the volumes, volume and price, reverse trend. Be cautious of smaller companies. These are the small pointers which we are going to open up and understand in more detail in the subsequent slides. We will also learn about be wary of closely held or family controlled companies. Do not invest in unlisted shares. Avoid the inactive shares. Do not invest in companies with bad industrial relations. Avoid vulnerable companies. Cut your losses. Buy low, sell high. Investing in the sick companies. Do not react on sudden rise or falls, because investing in shares is a long-term journey and investing in laggards. So what exactly this means, we will see in the subsequent slides. Let us first come to our first pointer, that is diversify your portfolio. What does this mean? The old adage, do not place your eggs in one basket. Because if you keep all the eggs in one basket, if one egg is spoiled, it will destroy the entire eggs. A real catastrophe can happen if one's funds are placed in one share only, or in one security. And in case of a downturn, the entire money that is invested in a particular sector can go for a fall. So what this possibility, it is always wise to spread one's investment, which means diversify. And on what factors, what parameters should one diversify? This is based on the type of investment spread, the industrial spread, the companies and the location. Now what does this mean? Type of investment spread, a part of fund in real estate to ensure roof over his head, another part in safe investment like bank deposits to ensure secure and stable income, and only the remainder should be invested in shares. In the previous chapter, I said this, never invest everything into one asset class. There needs to be a type of investment spread so that every asset class takes care of something or the other. What do you mean by industrial spread? It's limiting one's investment in an industry, because if you invest everything in one industry and if that industry fails, your entire money goes for the toss. So as a rule, limit one's investment in an industry to about 15% to balance the cycle of boom, recession, depression, boom again of an industry, because all the industries will not go for a recession or a boom in one go itself. So if you have a spread, it will balance out the boom, the recession, the depression together, and your investment would be safer overall. What do we look at? The companies. Limits one's investment in a single company to around 10%, because even though a company may be very, very good, something or the other may come and wipe out your entire investment if the company fails. And never invest up to a maximum of 12% to protect one against a major loss if any company goes under. So these are the basic rules one has to keep in mind when one plans to diversify. Balancing can be done by investing in other companies too, that goes through the periods of growth and setback. So you can identify different companies in a sector, companies in different sectors to match your goals. So that would be a good sort of diversification. What aspect should we see in location? Invest in companies in different locations to protect against a calamity happening in any one part of the country. Balancing will be done by investing in other companies in other locations too, different parts of the country that will not be badly affected. Because sometimes something might happen in one location, and if you have invested in the company in that location, the entire investment will go flat. So that's the reason choose different locations belong and different companies in different locations, that will be a proper diversification of your portfolio. One important caution on diversification is it must be remembered that diversifying your investment is not a guarantee that losses will not occur. It is a simple method of reducing the risk of a larger losses. These are the prudent rules one should follow, but this does not guarantee profits every time. You have to take a risk when you invest in a share market. What are the preferred diversified companies? Diversified companies are those that produce different products. The range of products or activity ranges into different industries. For example, ITC, Larsen & Toubro, Hindustan, Unilever. It is also important to determine whether their products are market leaders. If not, then a diversified company runs severe risk. So when it comes to products and services, one has to also keep this in mind. Now, a big question arises as to why diversification? During normal years, single product, single factory, single market, they generally perform well. However, problem occurs when the industry swings into recession or depression or faces competition. They do not have the elasticity to weather it. Diversification has often helped companies through a difficult time. So that is the reason diversification is very important. The purpose of diversification is, apart from the desire to take advantage of an opportunity for growth and profits in another country industry, to safeguard the company and cushion a downturn should a depression occur in the industry the company is in. So one has to look at these aspects, the purpose especially, apart from the desire to take advantage of opportunity to growth and profit in a company, to safeguard the company and cushion a downturn should a depression occurs. One has to keep the overall aspects of investment in mind for achieving the goals of diversification. Now, companies purchasing others with different products to gain access to a new or wider market. For example, Citibank acquired Diners Club franchise in India specifically to gain access to new individuals to whom they could sell their other banking products. Walmart made investment in Flipkart, and this share helped the company to get a head start in India. Reliance and Aditya Birla Group have been investing in diverse industries such as retail, hospitality, entertainment, and others. So these are the companies who have done these acts for diversifying to gain access to new or wider market or for introducing different products in the market. What are the advantages of diversification? For example, textile companies that had diversified were able to ride the severe depression that all but wiped out the industry. Several who had not diversified became the sick companies. So that is one beautiful example of diversification to the textile companies. Diversification provides flexibility, security, and stability to a company. Additionally, diversification opens up new markets and new possibilities. Indian companies are presently buying companies abroad to get access to those markets. So a new area into which a newer product or a customized product can be introduced. If the company's products are different and its factories are at different location, a strike or a disaster in one factory will not usually affect other factories in other location. So this also is an important advantage of diversification. There are some exceptions. One must be cautious while investing in non-diversified companies. And there are exceptions like companies who enjoy a monopoly or a near monopoly. Up to very recently, car companies were in this enviable position. Companies who have captive markets for all that they produce. In India, it is still in many industries a seller's market. Fortunately, a number of such companies are reducing. Companies whose products are far superior to their competitors. Individuals prefer to purchase this even though they are more expensive. So these are good inclusions in the exceptions. So friends, When we talk in terms of diversification, stay clear of one product, one market, one company. However, when it comes to the advantages of diversification, invest in well-diversified ones unless a company is a clear market leader and professionally managed. So one has to have a clear thinking on whether to invest in one product, one market, one company, or to take advantages of investing in a diversified company. Now, let us take another aspect. Why should one choose blue chips? As we have seen, blue chips are strong, profitable, established, and dividend-paying companies. They are considered as safe investment, and they give regular dividends, and their value also appreciates. The yield and the appreciation, though modest, it is less than the other shares. So obviously, investment in blue chips are going to fetch you good returns as well as a reasonable appreciation. The next important point one has to keep in mind is bigger the better. The shares of larger companies are usually safer from an investment point of view, as these are less prone to the vicissitudes of fortune and turbulence of economic cycles. Large companies are usually diversified. If one industry is in depression, it would not be disastrous, as its product in other industries could be doing well. These companies are usually multi-product, and as a consequence, their faith is not dependent on one single product. Due to a bigger factory size and plant size, they are often able to take advantage of the economies of scale. So these economies of scale makes better cost efficiency, good profitability, and that's the reason the bigger the better. Larger companies always attract the best talent and have resources to train the people to improve their knowledge and enhance their expertise. Large companies are often professionally managed. The professional managers are usually extremely sensitive to the market conditions and are performance driven. So they take care of the company in turn. It provides more safety to the investment made by the investors. Large companies often tend to regularly reward investors by higher and regular dividends and with bonus issues. The returns of large companies are usually higher. And when we talk in terms of the share capital, that also keeps on increasing. Large companies have easier and better access to new technologies, and they possess the better facilities for research. One important point should be noted is the returns from the large companies may be lower. The reason is they have a large share capital to service. However, when we talk in terms of the total profitability, it is definitely more. Over the years, large companies have built up a tremendous amount of goodwill, and the public have great trust in them. The very fact that they are now large indicates the fact that they are actually vibrant, dynamic, and prosperous, and that's the reason they have got the large company status. They also have greater access to the capital. Banks are more comfortable lending to the larger companies and supporting their projects because they have established a very good track record. A simple yardstick to follow for deciding a large company would be a turnover of more than ₹500 crores, net worth more than ₹100 crores. There should be a large number of shareholders. The company should have a consistent record of profitability. Ideally, the average after-tax growth of profit should be around 20% per annum. So this is a simple yardstick to follow for deciding a large company. Some more pointers are there to decide. That is, there should be a regular dividend payouts during the previous 3 to 5 years. The share should have appreciated by about 25 to 30% per annum during the last 3 years. And the company should have issued bonus shares periodically. The next important point would be buy low price shares. As we have seen, when we buy low price shares, you can definitely reap the profits when the share price rises, it's always wiser to buy the low price shares, as the possibility of growth in the low price shares are much higher than that of the high price shares. Additionally, the loss that one may incur is much lower. The scope for the low price shares to rise are very high, and that can easily provide profits to the investors. One must examine the company whose prices are low, and if the fundamentals are good, it has potential that one should buy the shares, so that one can definitely get a better price than what they have invested today. History repeats itself. What does that mean? The share market follows a cycle of boom, depression, shares will rise and then fall and will rise again. Therefore, if there is a downturn in an industry, it does not mean that one should ignore those shares entirely, because those shares can rise again. The best example, Blue Star and Arvind Mills are good example of good turnaround in the share price over a period of time. One must aim to buy shares when it at its low, because there is a potential to rise. It is said, show me a man who does not believe in history and I will show you a fool. So always track the history of a share market and remember, history repeats itself. Acting against the tide. This is one important aspect one should keep in mind. If one can act intelligently against the tide, the rewards can be very great. This effectively means purchasing shares when others are selling, or selling shares at a time when others are buying. A beautiful example of acting against the tide. The greatest benefit will occur at the time just before the tide turns. To be successful in this, one must be aware of the market conditions and be lucky. Timing is all important, as otherwise one can lose a considerable amount. Next important aspect before investing in shares, watch for the volumes. When you talk about volumes, the prices rise or fall markedly of shares when there are large purchases or sales. The demand and supply decides the price. This occurs when there are large institutional purchases of shares. A large corporation or group is trying to corner the shares. So always watch for the volumes. This is going to have definitely an impact on the price. Large number of shares are being loaded or offloaded by a group or institution for specific purpose or for any other motive or for any event that has happened in the company. Good news or increased profits are anticipated. Whenever this happens, the share prices will rise or fall sharply. Hold on for a while and investigate the reason, then only take a decision to invest in shares of that company. The next important aspect is volume and price. Volumes and price move normally divergent to each other and with each other on the sale and purchase of shares respectively. As the volumes of the sales of a share increase, prices begin to fall as supply exceeds demand. On the other hand, when the volume of the price increases, the price rise as the demand exceeds supply. So volume of sale of a share increases, the prices begins to fall. Volume of the purchase increases, the prices rise as demand exceeds supply. So this is a very important relationship between the volume and the price. However, when the price rises without a corresponding increase in the volume, it may be interpreted as someone managing or manipulating the price to enable themselves to sell at a profit. So this also needs to be noted by the investor. Similarly, if the shares fall in value without a rise in the volume, it would be prudent to wait a while before selling. A basic rule in investing is never buy or sell on an impulse. Investigate, research, and then only take your informed decision.